Okay, let's try this. How about now? We're getting audio. Testing. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. We should be connected. I am now seeing the green bars on the stream program, so I think I had to switch out my microphone configuration. I think we're good now, so welcome, everyone. It is March 19th, 2018. This is Ted Midward. You're tuned into A Stranger in My Own Land here on EurofolkRadio.com. Hope you guys are doing all right tonight. And let me shut off the playback here on EFR so I'm not hearing myself and then rebroadcasting that over and over to you guys on a 10-second delay. That would not be fun. Okay, I think we're up and good to go. It live show tonight, if you haven't figured that out thus far. Taking a break. I did the first two installments of Anthology of Racial Issues by Charles Weissman. Starting 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we'll continue on. I thought it needed a little bit of a break, but I thought I'd come up live, and by all means, if you guys want to join me, I'd certainly love anyone to participate. People in the chat room, if you want to ask questions, make comments, or if you can connect with me on Skype, that's certainly fair, too. I'm open to it. If you make trouble or make trouble for others here, I will have to boot you, of course, and I won't hesitate to do so, but we can be open. I'm going to be with you guys for the next 2 hours until 10 p.m. Eastern here. A few housekeeping issues that I thought I'd go over first. One of my favorite authors, Mike King of TomatoBubble.com. I'm sure a lot of you guys listening are familiar with Mike. He came out with another book about Andrew Jackson, and I believe it's called Andrew the Great. I was checking it out here earlier, and I need to order a copy for myself. But I do like Mike. He's been on my program a few times to discuss his books, his writing, and his research. And I thought I'd give him a little plug. I think he does great work. He takes some pretty complex and interesting historical subjects and really makes it easy to understand for people who are new to, I suppose you can call it, conspiracy history. So, tomatobubble.com, 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 MS King or Mike King on Amazon, and go check out some of his work. If you don't have a few of his books, give a couple a try. I think you'll find that he does excellent work, and I think he's one of those guys that I have no hesitation in advocating for and supporting as far as work goes. Not too many people are in the authoring field or the book writing game anymore, unfortunately. And, well, I certainly understand why. We have full streaming, high definition video on the internet these days, and it's, even with myself, it's very hard to sit down and work your way through a book and sit down and do an hour or 2 hours of reading. It's something that's kind of a lost discipline in our society, unfortunately. Even in the schools, the kids these days, I think they, in most of the schools, they have laptops and computers, and most of it's electronic. And some of the important books are going away, and less people are interested in writing books because there's less and less money in it, because less and less people actually buy them and read them anymore. But with Mike, you can go get a PDF copy, or you can get a paperback print copy. I, of course, like having the hard copy and paperback copy for not only collector's sake, but be able to refer back to it and not to need to be at my computer or on a electronic device to access the information. I like taking notes and highlighting, and I have quite a book collection. It's bad because it takes up a lot of space. Not easy to move. You got to buy bookcases, and they take up space. They do. Also, another note, too, I'm trying out I wouldn't really call it a sponsor. It's more like someone whose work I enjoy and like, and I like some of the messages and content that they produce, but free speech stickers on eBay.com. They have a little portal where they have bumper stickers, pro-patriot, pro-Second Amendment, pro-Constitution, liberty-type oriented bumper stickers. Go there if you want to help out. Buy a couple stickers from them, and you can, I guess, help me, and I'm trying to help them at the moment. So if you'd like to, please, if you don't have, well, maybe some of you guys in the metro areas, I don't know about putting a MAGA sticker or a pro-Second Amendment sticker on your actual vehicle. It's probably not the wisest choice. You saw what happened during the election with the Trump yard signs and people making trouble for all these people. But at the very least, I think it makes a good bookmark, and it's kind of a memento thing. And really, I think it's better than just donating with PayPal or Patreon, because you kind of get something in return, kind of a little novelty thing. So free speech stickers on eBay, free speech stickers on eBay, free speech stickers on eBay. American Free Press, I guess I'll give them a shout-out, too, while I'm here, talking about some other things. I do like American Free Press. I always have. I kind of came up on conspiracy history stuff with people who, kind of alumni of American Free Press, Michael Collins Piper, Victor Thorne has had some associations with them in the past. I don't think he was ever a staff writer for them, but Christopher Bolin was a big one. Really opened my eyes. 9/11 was the big thing, and in my life that opened my eyes that more is going on behind the scenes than we're being led to believe. And it's my opinion that Christopher Bolin is, I want to say, Jim Garrison wouldn't be the absolute 100% match for an analogy, but I guess Mark Lane with JFK, Christopher Bolin's basically the Mark Lane, the MVP of 9/11 truth. In my opinion, and of course, there's a lot of other people who have done great stuff, but Christopher Bolin really came out and knocked it out of the park and did the legwork and actual true investigative journalism that nobody else really had done and is really a dying technique, a dying breed. And if you could go support him, I don't know if he still has Bolin.com up, but get his books, Solving 9/11. And he's put all of his articles out and put them in a compendium. And you know what? Now that I think about it, I started reading maybe the first five or six and have them recorded. That's another project that I started and has kind of fallen by the wayside. Maybe one day I'll finish it. Other projects, if you want to know what I'm up to week, I do an hour's worth of Henry Ford's The International Jew. I actually do the unabridged four-volume set. This is week 35 of doing that. It was just released today at 5 p.m. Eastern live as a podcast, and it is up on YouTube. Sven Longshanks over at Radio Aryan produces them, supports them, and promotes them. By all means, if you're looking for something else to pop in the car on the way to work, or you've always wanted to actually sit down and read or hear what was in The International Jew, but you saw, oh boy, it's four volumes and about 500-plus pages, maybe I'll wait to start that another time. I actually go through it. I read it line by line. I do some light commentary. I don't try to get carried away with the commentary because my aim with the project was just to read it and put it on record for other people to enjoy in the future. And hopefully it'll live on forever thanks to the internet. I've done a couple shows that they're still in the vault. They're still in the Ted Midward vault, and I haven't put them up. And I got to go back through and edit the stuff. Had a microphone break on me last week, had to reorder the same microphone, which I think is a vast improvement over the previous microphone that I used that had a ton of background noise, very blotchy, very low quality. So had a few hiccups here, but we'll get back in the groove of this. And there's a lot going on. I've been all over the place with the news. I was trying to dig into this these bombing incidents that have happened over the past week and a half in Austin, Texas. And I was looking at some of these people. Sean King, he's the white SJW kid who acts like he's black and pretends that he's black. He was making some posts on social media about some of the initial victims. And I guess a couple of the initial victims there in Austin, Texas, were some higher standard black males, not exactly the thug criminal types. And as I know it, there's been others besides the two black males. It has since moved out to whites and maybe one Hispanic or Asian victim. Austin, Texas, anymore is a huge liberal metro multicultural area. It is not the what you might think of as the Alex Jones Austin, Texas of 10 to 15 years ago. Texas is being invaded by California liberals who are fleeing the country, and it seems like a large portion of them are going to Texas and are going to ruin that place, and hopefully they don't come where I am after that. Well, I think we have a couple guests with us. Do I have, looks like I got Dan and Eli. How are you gentlemen doing tonight? It is. I was watching a video report that I think it's Millie Weaver is her name over at InfoWars. They have this music festival in Austin every year. I think it's called South by Southwest, and it used to be something back 20, 30 years ago where bands would actually go and perform to go get noticed and get signed, and it was apolitical. Well, it has since been hijacked and turned into a social justice warrior cause celeb, and they were showing video of gosh, every darker complected person muffling through the streets in downtown Austin, trashed, drug use rampant in the streets, defecating, puking in the streets, and they were interviewing the local, yeah, exactly, like Denver and San Francisco. Okay, let me check my Skype settings now and make sure this is... Okay. Let me try this now. Is this coming through? Testing. 1, 2, 3. I see the stream is still up. I'm getting green bars when I speak. And let me check my voice meter. Okay, excellent. Thank you for letting me know. Austin Police, they pretty much admitted that the local attorneys there, the judges, they were not going to prosecute, and they did not want the police department, therefore, to go out and police the concert goers because, you know, it brings so much tourism money and people coming in to dine and to lodge into the city. So this is what you can expect in the future, folks. More and more, the politicians, law enforcement, the local judicial system, they are going to bow the knee to the almighty dollar, and they are not going to protect you when these people come in. I've heard stories over the years, too, about, you know, cities have a Black Expo, and it's a very good weekend when Black Expo happens to avoid this city at all costs. Yes. It's really bad. You mentioned Venezuela. I've been reading some real horror stories about, people have lost a lot of weight there, of course, but it was never really all that well off to begin with. And I've heard stories about zoo animals being liberated and eaten by people in and around the zoo. I was reading a story today on Drudge about horses were roaming neighborhoods and I guess eating the siding and off these houses and then later dying a day or two later. I mean, this is bad news. These policies, like you alluded to, Eli, are bad news. Communism always produces death, genocide, and starvation. It's not something that whites ought to embrace at all. And unfortunately, the more non-whites we get, the more we're going to be pressured into adopting these policies because they, in large, want to be taken care of in this country.
Of, and you see these Antifa people with their signs and placards saying, "Down with capitalism," right? But it's capitalism that has sustained communism forever. It really has, right? And they don't see it. They're brainwashed, self-indulgent zombies who have been secularized and have been brought to the brink of total chaos. Thanks to the educational system, which is controlled by Jews. Okay? So, and if Venezuela is any example, these towns that go liberal, are going to be next. There's just going to be flooded with violence. And most of these towns are liberal. I don't know about Austin. I assume it's been a liberal stronghold for a long time. But, the music scene down there has been very strong, but now. It reminds me of a movie. Remember the movie Jaws? The
Yes, yep.
plot of the movie was that the local sheriff, people were being attacked by sharks, but the local news media and everybody else was suppressing that information because they didn't want the tourist trade to be affected, right? So, but sooner or later the word gets out. And we see there's a shark attack happening in Austin. And by the mere fact that the press is suppressing the facts of what's happening in Austin, Texas, it's more and more proof that these people are utterly irresponsible and they want to continue the tourism trade in Austin, Texas at the cost of violence and rape and murder to the potential tourists. Well, eventually those tourists are going to figure out that it's not worth going to Austin. They're going to lose out anyway. Okay? That's inevitable.
Right, right. I'm checking the chat room here. Apparently,
okay,
we just now got you hooked in on the stream. So people were hearing a one-sided conversation. They were just hearing me and weren't hearing you. I apologize for that. But I believe it is back now. They heard the last two or three minutes of what you've said here. I had to get with Paul and change my login for the stream site, and I forgot that that changes your credentials on the BUTT program. So I had to redo that and change my speakers to the output on VoiceMeeter so that folks listening could hear what I was hearing in my headphones here. So
yes. I was going to talk more about National Vanguard.
Okay.
And I think I can go to 8 o'clock, but this news from Colombia, and it regards Venezuela, is really more important. So here is the message that I got, and this is dated March 14, 2018, Medellin, Colombia. Okay. It's been a few months since I've traveled to Medellin. I have a number of investments and business interests in this region. In on them from time to time. Okay, and I just got some major echo, but I'll deal with it. Plus, Medellin is a wonderful city. You don't have to twist my arm too hard to visit there. If I weren't living in Chile, which is also really, really great, by the way, the president of Chile recently denounced the Israeli state, which is a good sign. Okay, we see that the lines are being drawn between left and right, although I'm not sure if Chile is a right-wing dictatorship today or a left-wing dictatorship. These South American countries, they switch back and forth, right? Medellin would definitely be on my short list of places to live. Okay, so apparently he thinks it's a nice place. The weather here is fantastic with its eternal spring temperatures. The city is stupendously cheap, from food to real estate to local labor, and expats can enjoy a really fulfilling social life here. I mean, he's talking about Americans, I'm sure. I've called Medellin the Austin, Texas of South America because of its unique, vibrant, slightly weird culture. Okay. Now, Ted, are you from Texas?
No.
Or is that just okay. But I know a lot of people in Texas, a couple people in Austin, and Austin at one time and up until very recently was really one of the cleanest and liveliest scenes around. But when you have something like that, it always attracts liberals.
Right, right. Okay. As far as I understand it, Eli, it was like a tech capital, information technology, computer and tech. That's what brought a lot of white class, middle class white folks the jobs there. So isn't that how it goes? A place gets real nice and a lot of money comes into it and upper middle class flock to it for the jobs, and then before you know, the downfall comes, right?
Yeah, the blacks and Latinos invade at usually at Jewish insistence, and then the economy goes to hell. Well, I know that the downtown area where all of the action, the white action takes place, is separated from the bad side of Austin by a superhighway, and it's a multi-level superhighway that prevents the riffraff from going across the bridge. But if the riffraff are coming from California, if they're expatriate Californians who are leaving California because it's turning into such a dump that you can't live there anymore, and the taxes are so high that all the businesses – so what's happening – what happened to Silicon Valley many years ago is happening now to all of California, and it looks like that disease has now come to Austin, Texas. And I don't think you need to analyze it any more deeply than that. Multiculturalism is coming to Austin, Texas, and white people better start waking up and realizing that multiculturalism is a death sentence for white civilization, and they better start dealing with this. How do you deal with these politicians who are insisting on this multiculturalism? Okay. And it's not going to stop because these liberal politicians, they require the votes of these third world immigrants and the rest of the Democratic Party and the welfare state, plus the bureaucrats of the patronage system. These people all vote Democratic in every election. And so the way the Democratic Party keeps power is by the votes of these welfare recipients, these entitlement, the entitled voters. Okay. They like to criticize us for having white privilege, but these are the people with entitlement. And entitlement is bringing America down, down into the gutter of socialism. And this is where Venezuela has been, the gutter of socialism. And that's why. Now, here's what he says next. Well, but one of the major differences I've noticed on this trip is the sudden influx of Venezuelan migrants. They're everywhere. Colombia is dealing with a massive refugee crisis, just like California being dumped into Texas, with more than 600,000 Venezuelans pouring across the borders. Most of them are relatively poor and uneducated, so I'm seeing a lot of them on the streets. It was the same in Cartagena earlier this week. Last night, I met one Venezuelan man named Alejandro, who moved here about a year ago. Back home in Venezuela, Alejandro was quite successful. He owned a prominent business and enjoyed all the benefits of his hard work. He had a beautiful, luxurious home, etc., etc. He even had a few toys, a car, a boat. Now it's all gone. The government took everything from him, his business, his land, his savings, either through direct confiscation or through hyperinflation. Alejandro didn't see it coming, and he didn't have a plan B. All of his savings, all of his assets, all of his income were tied up in the same country, Venezuela. Well, you can't expand your portfolio if the government is the only business in town, right?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, they just nationalize everything and steal it from you and squander it, so it does nobody any good.
Yeah, and somehow the liberals that go to our colleges and are brainwashed with collectivism don't know that socialism always fails. They don't know that. You know, their college professors, who are usually Jews and or, you know, libtards who believe in socialism, have never experienced socialism for themselves. And they sing its praises. It's a totally delusional mindset, liberalism is.
And it's
based on good
close.
Intentions. Go ahead.
They get awfully close to going all the way down the rabbit hole, but they always stop short when it comes to the money system and understanding how money is created and it operates and what capitalism truly is. That, you know, they think we have capitalism here in America. We really don't. We don't have free markets. We have very high regulation and government enforcement of those. And then on top of it, we have a central bank, which controls the money supply and has a monopoly on the price of money. And this is one of the planks, one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto as penned by Karl Marx. Well, they don't really understand that. They just think, well, we've been told we live in capitalism and I can't get ahead, therefore capitalism is bad, and whatever the opposite of capitalism is, supposedly, is going to be good for me. You know, it's kind of like when you're first waking up, and in my own experience, it was George W. Bush, right, in the Iraq War, and, oh, that's bad, this is bad, I think I'm going to go support the Democrats. Well, it wasn't long before I realized that really isn't the solution either. It's very simplistic kind of thinking, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's infantile. It's infantile. And then at top of this, they deny the existence, the literal existence of gender. Right? It's quite amazing that now the socialists always prided themselves on being scientific, where in the olden days, the argument was that Christians are irrational and have no knowledge of science. How can you believe this Bible, which is, a fairy tale, a very secular, anti-scriptural, anti-Christian point of view, right? So now they're actually going to the extreme of saying that gender is a social construct and not to be taken as a fact. So the socialists have gone completely bonkers. They have now adopted the irrational posture of making claims science is a social construct and it can't be taken literally. That's really what they're saying. Okay.
Right.
Science, just leaves them. Yeah. Go ahead.
Science and math are tools of white supremacy, I heard one particular group say. So they've totally gone bonkers with this. It's hard. You know, half of them want to tell you that white racism exists and white privilege and white oppression and white supremacy, all this kind of stuff. And then on the other hand, they try to tell you that race isn't real and we're all one human race. It's total madness. And you know what's interesting? The left, I never see them backbite each other or try to keep each other in line. They just totally stand down. It's like the person next to them totally ratchets up the insanity and goes with the pro-pedophile stuff, and then the other one pops in with white supremacy, and then the other one pops in with how we need to open our borders. It's just mass lunacy, and no one... It's like they don't police each other. They're all just engaged in this delusional madness about what really is and isn't. And of course, they're mostly white liberals who've grown up in suburbs and don't really know how blacks live or Hispanics or anyone else. It's total insanity.
Or how the white working class lives. They don't know that either because they've never held a job. Which is true of the vast majority of people who call themselves socialists and communists. You know, the communist movement has never liberated a single worker. Not one. Okay? They always have become slaves to a brutalitarian dictatorship. Those are Joe McCarthy's words, by the way. Brutalitarian. Okay? And it's just you have to hand it to the Jews that their brainwashing tactics work so well that they can turn an intelligent white child into a blithering idiot in only 4 years or less.
Right. Yeah, the emotional appeal of this stuff is enough to get Gentiles to just bite and chomp down and take it hook, line, and sinker and never question it. Yeah. As long as it sounds good and it sounds lovey-dovey and wonderful, Gentiles just jump aboard and hop on the bandwagon and ride it till the wheels fall off. It's the same thing with gun control, communism. I mean, you see what they're doing with the kids, right? How they use the kids to pull on your heartstrings so that you give up your guns and become a slave. It's the same thing. They do emotional appeal with communism. How'd that turn out 100 years ago for the white Christian Russian peasants? Not so good, folks. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, fortunately for us, we have the First and Second Amendments, which are, you know, those two amendments to the Constitution are what's been keeping this country going. We would have been taken over decades ago if it weren't for that, okay? And, you know, and our government has been defying the Constitution for so long with their unconstitutional wars. And you know, because I've been doing this series on the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln, I think, was the last president to call out the militia. Okay. And so these were volunteers, able-bodied men capable of using firearms. And there were some women who actually joined up. They pretended to be men and joined up. Right. But World War I was conscription. Woodrow Wilson, he at least got Congress to declare war, and FDR got Congress to declare war, but we have not had a declared war since then. All of these wars we've had at the behest of the Zionists, and even those two world wars were at the behest of the Zionists, have been police actions by the president. So, you know, if these people are pacifists and don't believe in war, then they should believe in the U.S. Constitution, not in the Zionist capitalist globalist state.
Right, right. Well, I can tell you a big problem. We talk about education and how these public schools are just, they're only as good as the curriculum, right? It's kind of like, oh, a bad neighborhood, a bad town. Well, a town or a neighborhood isn't intrinsically good or bad. It depends on the people who make those towns and places up. Well, it's the same thing with the curriculum in these schools. The public school has taken education of the founding fathers and the Constitution out of the schools and has replaced it with politically correct liberalism. So these folks don't get even a drop of information about the founding fathers, about the American War for Independence, or about the foundations of the Constitution, either ideological or historical foundations of it. They're totally starved of it.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, the Constitution has been totally buried in all the rhetoric and bureaucracy of the superstate, which, of course, the Jews are behind, you know, the welfare state and LBJ and the passage of the Civil Rights Act, which gave blacks the vote. Yeah, you can see that the decline of America was going to come with the passage of that act. And guess what? It has, right? Because what you have is infantile voters simply voting for their own bellies, vis-a-vis taxing the white middle class, working class, and taking our money and giving it to blacks, Latinos, illegal aliens, and others to vote for the Democratic Party. Okay?
Right.
This is not exactly communism, but it is the slippery slope. In this case, it's a landslide from what used to be free enterprise into socialism. And the communists call it socialism. They don't call it communism. They prefer the term socialism. So all of these libtards, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, you know, your college liberals, they're all communists, whether they want to call themselves that or not. The feminists, for sure. If you go to an NOW, Now Movement meeting, the tables are full of Marxist literature. So any American who sends their son or daughter to college is literally asking for the state, for the government, to take their children away from them and turn them against their own parents, who, by the way, are capitalists, right, if they're working, right? So the colleges have become a cesspool of communism and multiculturalism and anti-Americanism, rotten to the core. And let me just put in a plug for Art Jones here, because Art Jones is going to be addressing the press tomorrow around 7 o'clock, because we got the March primary happening tomorrow. The Democratic Party has to select their candidate for the 3rd congressional district here in Illinois. And Art Jones, who is a constitutional Christian patriot, is running for that office, 3rd Congressional District, as a Republican. And the Jews have declared an all-out assault against Art Jones so that he can't be heard. However, since he's been getting world publicity of a negative sort, they actually are creating interest in Art Jones, right? So we're going to talk about the Holocaust, and because the whole world is calling him a Holocaust denier. And so, you know, he's got some talking points already prepared to give to the press when they interview him tomorrow after the polls close. Okay. So we have such a hard time getting our message to our own people, thanks to Jewish meddling in our affairs, that we can't even talk to each other anymore. This is how thoroughly the Jews have meddled in our society. And the Judeos are just as bad. The Judeo-Christian churches are lockstep in with the global Zionists as well. So, and these people are full of contradictions, but nobody points out the contradictions because our voices are being crushed by the fake news media of the international Jew. Okay. So I want everybody to try. I think it's artjones.com. He's got a website. And he needs your support. We have a real opportunity to break through the shroud of silence that the Jews have created against the white race. And so Art Jones needs your support and your prayers. keep him in your prayers. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, I'd like to take the last 10 minutes, if I may, to talk about National Vanguard.
Yeah, please, and, go ahead.
One of the problems with the secular white nationalist movement is that it is secular. And they believe in a race-based salvation. And it's not going to work unless they're with Yahweh. What they have actually been trained by the Jews to reject their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay. And I'm just going to quote here. I'm a National Vanguard. And the title is of this article here, Jewish Anglo-Saxons? Question mark. Now, of course, and it's a video in which he criticizes the identity movement for us wanting to be Jews. Now, of course, it's a false charge. What he has done, and this is what the same thing the liberals do, they believe Jewish lies about us. They never consult us directly to get, what's your opinion, pastor identity, right? So here's what he says. This is Tom Rousell, Rowsell. Anglo-Saxon and Jewish people were and are, editor, very different. Yes, they are. One was a polytheistic group of Germanic warrior tribes in Northern Europe, and the other was a monotheistic Semitic tribe in the Middle East. Well, yes, the Germans were a polytheistic group, but they were also descended from the tribe of Judah. And the Jews were not Semitic. Okay. So he's got insufficient information about the Germans, and he's got the absolute wrong opinion about the Jews, who are not Shemites. He continues, yet for the Anglo-Saxons to convert to Christianity had to accept the Hebrews of the Old Testament as the chosen people of the one true God. Now, again, he doesn't know anything about history, because the Anglo-Saxon Christians of Europe hated Jews, okay? And the only reason they are accepted today is because of the propaganda campaign instituted by the Jews, starting with the Scofield Reference Bible, which warmed Christians around the world up to the Zionist movement, okay? So here we see the same level of ignorance coming from the lips of a white nationalist that we do from libtards and Judeo-Christians. Okay, so he continues in the next paragraph. Therefore, those who wish to convert to the Anglo-Saxon to the Semitic religion, Christianity is not a Semitic religion, nor is the Mosaic Law a Jewish. By Semitic, he means Jewish. Okay, so these people are intractably dead set against Christian identity. I've run into many of these people, and they hate our movement just as much as Judeo-Christians do and as much as the liberals do. So I'm gonna do my best to crack this nut and see if I can get an audience with one of the editors here at the National Vanguard and tell them to stop spreading Jewish lies about our movement, okay?
Yeah.
And they need to sit down and listen to us once and for all. You know, so if we can get some traction with them, maybe we can get some traction with the Judeos and maybe ultimately with some liberals, because these people would at least believe in freedom of speech, right?
Yeah.
National Vanguard.
Think. Yeah. Yeah. You would hope so. You would think so, but I've had my own run-ins with that crowd, and it's incredible. You know, I understand, there's people I want to interview and do podcasts with who are secular white nationalists. I get it. I am not the type to shove my beliefs down anyone's throat. I know that doesn't work. It's not effective. It's a waste of time. I never bring it up, but it's amazing how when people in CI or around CI interact with these people, they bring up the Christianity issue the first thing, and then when the debate gets going, they get trounced. And they always look like fools when they go on podcasts to try to discuss it because they're not ready. They bring up Hitler and National Socialism. I guess these people haven't read Mein Kampf. There are excerpts in the first book, the very first chapters of Mein Kampf, where Hitler praises Christianity. He says, "I believe I'm doing the Lord's work in fighting the Jew." He says many pro-Christian statements, and they fail to realize this. And then on top of it, they try to quote and cite false books attributed to Hitler, like Table Talk or any of these others. There's a few podcasts out there. People probably know. I'm not going to say any names, but they're out there. And I had my own recent run-in with this crowd who tried to play that card on me. And I had to trounce them in email. And Godspeed to you, Eli. You try to get these people. I hope it works out. I know a few of them, and maybe I'll send you their email who could get you in touch with them and maybe set up some kind of debate. That would be good.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I'll keep trying here. Of course, William Pierce is the founder of that group. I'm not sure who's in charge of it now, but I'll see if I can get an in with a third party. And a real dialogue has to start between Christian identity and white nationalism. And you know, they're informed by Jewish lies about us, and of course, the perception that the Bible is a Jewish book, okay, which is the biggest lie. As long as they believe that lie, they'll never understand Christian identity. But they're treating us the same way as the libtards and the Judeos. They refuse to listen to us. Okay? So if I have to drive down to Cincinnati and bang on somebody's door, I will do that, because I'm really getting sick of our movement being misrepresented by these white nationalists. I'm really getting sick of it.
Right.
All right? So anyway, that's
I'll get with you after the show or in the coming days and remind me, send me a message, and I'll work on a couple contacts I have that know those people over there. So.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was there a couple of years ago, because they have a fest in Cincinnati, a summertime fest, and I met with a lot of these people. Some were sympathetic to what, you know, my position was, but in my whole life, I've never met. There were a couple of people who were so hostile to Christian identity that I really couldn't believe it. In fact, this one guy was married, and even his wife said, "Give the guy a break. He's a guest from Chicago." Right? And he was just laying into Christian identity like something fierce. And oddly, he said he was a Greek Orthodox Christian.
All right. So, yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, you'd think, you know, Christian identity is at least it's pro-Christian. Why the hostility? A tremendous hostility.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, this, we have to break through this because they're the ones who are fooled by Judaism, not us. And they need to be made to see that. Okay. If we can get through to them, we might be able to get through to anybody. We'll see. We'll see. Right. All right. Yeah. I'll definitely get in touch with you. And you know, if you have a couple of contacts in Cincinnati at National Vanguard, I'll definitely look those people up. Okay.
Okay. Good deal. Hey, got to run.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate you being with me.
I'm working on the next issue of Chivalry. Go ahead.
Okay. Great. Well, Art Jones, I meant to make a comment. I heard the show you and Paul did with Art, I think it was last week on Fake News Now. It's a great show. If you guys haven't heard it, some of my listeners haven't heard it, go back and check it out in the archive. Support Art Jones tomorrow at, 7 Central tomorrow?
Fake News Now, we're planning on having him at the first hour, which would be 5 Eastern.
Okay. All right.
And it goes to 7, okay? So he'll be with us for the first half hour, and then, you know, we'll do the regular show, Fake News Now. We're going to try to have him just about every week until Election Day, you know, give him a half an hour or an hour, depending on how important the campaign is going, right? So it's going to be very interesting. And let me just tell you, the Jews have pulled out all the stops. They're sending Republicans out to warn people not to accept mail from Art Jones. Don't accept any literature from Art Jones. He's a Nazi. He's a Holocaust denier, et cetera, et cetera. So they're putting up a wall of of censorship around Art Jones like you would not believe. And so it's going to take a monumental effort to break through that wall of censorship. All right. But the one good thing in his favor is that the third district is very white. There's a lot of white people in this district. It's a very working class white area. And when we were in the St. Patrick's Day parade, a lot of people came up to us and says, "You got my vote." So, excellent. You know, so not everybody's stupid.
Absolutely. All right. Absolutely. Well, thank you for being with me here tonight, Pastor Eli. It was good talking to you. Yahweh bless. Have a good night, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. Take care. Yahweh bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. I mean, we hit on a couple issues there that they've been issues for a long time. I tried to allude to the fact earlier that the left wing, I mean, they're totally united on any nutso kind of idea. They never backbite each other. They never get mad at each other. They always seem to be united and joined at the hip on whatever crazy kind of issue or stance they want to take. And the right wing is totally the opposite. It's everyone and every little pond of idea or white nationalism or Christian identity. We all have our own little groups and little ponds. We're kind of isolated from each other. There's no alliance. Everyone's kind of an island unto themselves. They don't like each other. They don't get along with each other. It reminds me of a quote from Ben Franklin at the signing of the Declaration of Independence, effectively declaring war on Great Britain. "We'll either hang together or we shall surely hang separately." Think about that. Well, I'll tell you what, we are at the top of the hour here. It is 9 Eastern. And I'll tell you what, Commander Dan, if you are still out there and would like to join me for the second half, by all means, you have an open invitation, sir. But in the meantime, since we're at the top, let's go ahead and take a little 3-minute break. And I will see you guys on the other side here, and I got an EFR bumper to play, and I think it's about 3 minutes long, so we will see you guys on the flip side.
Street in the multicultural jungle, the animals are always hunting for prey that are unaware that they are being hunted. The fake news media has kept the public in the dark for decades. While you stare into your cell phone, you may be caught unaware and find your clothes soaked with your own blood. It only takes a second for the beasts to strike. You thought to yourself, "These are my brothers and sisters. They would never harm me, because of course, I would never harm them." This kind of logic can often get you into trouble in the city that's really a jungle. Maybe if we just try to understand them, this will change in time. But it won't. But time for you is running out quickly. You are not safe at all. You just think you are. As you walk through the alley, there are 5 beasts that are keeping an eye on you. And if it wasn't for the other people in the alley this time, you would have been an easy target for the taking. Cold, dark, and dreary images taint the sidewalks, and the sound of footsteps behind you are never considered a threat. Yet many have died this way. Never relax around beasts of this jungle, or you may make your mother a sad woman. This has been a warning from EurofolkRadio.com.
All right, folks, we are back. You are tuned in to A Stranger in My Own Land here on Eurofolk Radio. I am your host. That three-minute interlude is a production that David James, the very talented David James, put out. You can find that on his YouTube channel. I think on the Eurofolk Radio channel as well, but also for sure on David James's channel, which is entitled David James. It's called The Jungle. So thank you to David James for producing that. Great stuff. Well, we are back here, and I have got Commander Dan with me. Dan, how you doing tonight? And can you hear me, I guess? That is the first question here.
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay.
Question is, can EFR hear us?
Folks out in the chat room, if you would, can you hear Dan speaking with us thus far? Dan, can you give a little mic check?
Yeah, check. Last time, it seemed like when nobody could hear Eli, it was when I jumped off there for some reason, all of a sudden Eli was able to be heard. It might have been a coincidence, but I thought maybe there was some problem with more than one guest on or something.
Well, I had to reconfigure things, and I'm getting a yes from Steve, so you are live and on the air, sir.
Okay, good. It's working. Excellent.
Well, what's new with you these days? Anything jumping off the wall down there?
Well, it's a compilation of things. I field a lot of information via email, phone calls, text, phone, you know, different things like that pretty much every day. And it seems like everybody is on kind of like a heightened status right now, because everybody can sort of feel that something's about ready to bust. And this goes all the way to Colonel Potter, Lieutenant Colonel Potter, with his channel and all of his military contacts, Colonel Nimella with the Air Force and his contacts, Steve Motley, United States Marine Corps, and his contacts, and people with special forces. So, I mean, it goes everywhere. So not only the people that are Bible believers, but even folks that might be somewhat secular, everybody seems to be at this juncture on the timeline of history where we can feel something big is on the horizon. Whether you believe the QAnon posts or not, you have to admit that a lot of the stuff that's been posted by the QAnon folks has come to pass. It reminds me of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. The Jews would have you believe that it's a forgery and you can't trust it. However, you can't deny that most of the protocols have come to pass, and it is the playbook that they're using for world domination. You just can't deny that. So it's inconsequential as to whether it's legitimate or not if the document is showing that. So same thing could be said with some of these QAnon posts and things like that, if you follow that stuff. But I treat everything as just another source of information. And as the Bible commands us to do, you accept all things and keep that which is good. So stuff that has a double or triple witness, I give it more credibility than stuff that's just posted by Q alone. And it does seem to be that we are really, really close to some major geopolitical things happening and economic things within the next 7 to 14 days. I think during the month of March, we're going to see our Father move in mysterious ways. The Antichrist forces are ramping up for their final move. And the righteous are also ramping up for this final war between the children of light and the children of darkness.
It certainly seems the tension is just building and building, and there's so many things going on in the news that are relevant. It's just chaos everywhere. It's very difficult to keep a hold of it. I know I mentioned at the beginning of the program trying to dig into these these bombings in Austin, Texas. It's there's so many events taking place, and it's difficult to stay on top of it all. You got to keep your head on a swivel and be totally vigilant. We had a bridge collapse down there in sort of your neck of the woods, your state here too. I mean, it's almost symbolic of what's happening in the country as we decline and demographically get less white. Things are collapsing, it seems. And it's not good. It's not good at all.
Well, it's amazing. I'm going to toot my own horn here just a little bit. Folks that know me know that I've been talking about this stuff since the 1970s. So this is nothing new. I was in the United States Air Force when they first started the idea of bringing in unqualified people into the maintenance squadrons for the Air Force. I saw it. I was there. In 1972, when I entered the Air Force, the Electronic Countermeasures Department was 100% men, and I would say probably pretty close to 99.5% white guys, because they're the only ones who could score high enough to get in that career field. And I went into it because it was so high. I took all the AFES tests. The recruiter told me I could have any job the Air Force offered the enlisted people. And I chose missiles. And he said, well, you can't have that one. He goes, you got high enough scores, but you don't have perfect vision. I had astigmatism. And he said, you can't be in the missiles group. So I said, well, what's the second highest? He said, electronic countermeasures. I said, okay, give me that. My point is, that's what the white guys that got into electronic countermeasures had to go through. So about 1975, some wise asses in the Pentagon, and we can be pretty assured that there was a Jewish influence here because it was detrimental, decided that we don't have enough non-whites in these higher echelon career fields. And so guess what they did? Did they make the blacks and the women and the Puerto Ricans and the Mexicans and everybody else study harder to get the same scores that me and all the other white guys in that career field had? No, they lowered the test scores necessary. So over the next year, I watched our squadron bring in Puerto Ricans, Mexican Americans, females, blacks, and white trash. So the same shop that I went into that had tremendous esprit de corps and got a lot of great work done, worked our asses off, a lot of teamwork, our maintenance was above average. And then I watched that same shop turn into disarray, arguing, not able to get the work done, because now we had a billet for about 30 guys in the shop. So now you're down to 15 white guys and 15 others, and you got to have the same amount of work done. Well, that doesn't work, because the 15 white guys are supposed to pull the load while the 15 deadbeats take the credit and act as if they're getting the job done, when everybody in the shop knows that, no, they're not. They're unqualified. And I could go into great length of details on events that I personally witnessed during those years in the service that illustrate that. And so America's falling apart, Ted, because some of it's orchestrated by the deep state because of their political agenda, but some of it is just the natural consequences of being stupid. Political correctness, I've said for years, and affirmative action are failed constructs. They never work. They're part of the Jewish communism. And, of course, it's never going to work. I left the military. They asked me to reenlist. I said, there's no way I will reenlist in this military. And the shop chief, who was a chief master sergeant, he says to me, why not? And I said, because, A, you lie to me all the time, promise me things that you never do come through on, and second of all, you made me pass all the tests. You always open ranks inspection every morning or every Monday morning. If I had so much as a spot of oil on my fatigues or a wrinkle, I got written up, and yet I'll be standing next to a black guy that's got an afro that's at least twice as thick as regulations allow, and his uniform looks like he slept in it all night. He passes. Now, that's what I got to see. And plus, I saw the again, the professionalism of the shop just took a nosedive in order that political correctness get a foothold in the military. And that was clear back in the mid-70s. So you can fast forward to today, and you can just imagine why the bridge down here in the county just north of me, it fell apart because it was an affirmative action company. As my Cuban friends and Venezuelan friends, Caucasians, but they're from these other countries, attested to it. They said they've made lots and lots of money being a minority and affirmative action company, which means it's full of women and full of non-whites. Well, just as I saw in the Air Force, that formula doesn't work. And then, praise Yahweh, he does things on purpose. I get out of the military frustrated, and I go into the electrical power industry. And again, the same thing. I go into a shop with almost 50 guys in it in a nuclear power plant, and there's a lot of strenuous hours, a lot of work required. There's a lot of teamwork. We have to put our heads together. A lot of complicated things that we have to work on. So it was very similar to my military experience. And then somebody got the bright idea in the civilian world to do what the military had already done. And so I got to witness what happens when the first female showed up in our shop. And again, nothing against her as a person. Her name was Teresa. And I personally had no problem with her as a person, but as far as a technician, no. No way was she a good electronic technician in a power plant. And it divided the shop. We had 50% of the guys wanted to date her because she was good looking. The other 50% hated her because she was a woman trying to take the spot that should have belonged to a man. And so we had division, we had arguing, we had fights. We nearly had a couple guys get divorces over all this, and this is exactly what the enemy wants. He wants discord. He wants division. He wants to divide us and have us fighting each other over all kinds of things, because then we can't pay attention to what he's doing to destroy our nation. And it's unfortunate that our people are so soft-headed that they allowed their emotions, which are prompted by the Jew, to take over, and then we accept these new policies, and then we sit back and wonder why things like the pedestrian bridge collapsed here just north of me above Miami at the university. And it was a freshly built bridge. This isn't like a bridge that had been up there for 30 or 40 years and fell into disrepair. It was a bridge that had just been built, and it collapsed. So, and again, there's other instances of this, but the major media won't touch them. And people like me, up until you get Eurofolk Radio, we don't have a voice to let the people know what we personally have seen. And I could go on and on and on about the blacks and the other non-whites and the Indians and all these people that show up. The media makes it like there are equals, and you got this completely idiotic movie, The Black Panther, coming out promoting this idea that blacks are not only our equals, but in many times superior, and I'm sorry, but reality, folks, no, they're not, all right? And in the history of the world, that has never been true, and it sure as hell isn't true today.
Well, I certainly agree with you. It's these people here are here for a spoil and a plunder, as one of the scriptures says. They're not here to become Americans or to help us out or pay Social Security pensioners or anything like that. They're here to get what they can get. That's the way the world works. And no one is as idealistic, altruistic, the word is, no one is as on that same level with white people. White people think like that, and we're so quick to help everyone else out, but these other people don't feel that way. These people hate us. They are here to devour us. And I don't want to belabor the point or go on forever with this, but you folks need to make preparations and provisions to get away and be separate and secure. It's getting to the point where I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah, we're going to see monumental changes in the very near future, and that's why we're trying to sound the alarm for those who have ears to hear. Yeshua told us when he walked this earth, there would be great changes. He called it the great shakening in the heavens and the earth. That's what the Greek language uses, but it's basically what we're seeing, which is complete insanity in everything. It's just completely insane. Well, he told us it was going to happen, so we don't lose our minds thinking that this is the way it's going to stay, because it's not. This is a sign of the end. This is a sign that Yahweh's about ready to pull the rug out from underneath the New World Order, which is completely satanic. He's about ready to crash Babylon, just as the book of Revelation says. This insanity can't go on. And the good news for people with their brains still functioning and their heads screwed on right is that even if there was no Bible and even if there was no Yahweh, nature itself is going to self-correct by destroying this system. It can't tolerate abhorrence to natural law. It won't tolerate it. That's why you don't see birds practicing idiotic practices like mankind does. You don't see homosexuality in the animal kingdom. You don't see circumcision and mutilation of your male children in the animal kingdom. You don't have any of that kind of stupidity going on amongst the animal kingdom. They have a set of rules that operate at the instinct level, and they don't have any agendas other than to live out their lives according to those pre-programmed instincts that Yahweh put in there from their creation. And if you leave them alone, they don't go out and pick fights just to pick fights. I love the animal shows where they'll show people out there with cheetahs and lions and tigers, and the guy that is squishing a black widow spider and a brown recluse spider, and he's showing that they don't attack until they're almost killed under normal circumstances. They're not aggressive. They don't want to mess with you. Only mankind messes with other mankind. Only the Jew just can't leave well enough alone. He's got to get in there and muck up the works. He's done it for thousands of years. Christ identified it. That's why they murdered him. So it's nothing new under the sun. You know, we just can't seem to let go of the idea of let everybody alone, let them live their lives, and let's live at peace. The world's ready for peace. You can see it. The whole world is crying out for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested, exactly as Scripture says. There's travail, there's severe pain and anguish everywhere you look, because the sons of Yahweh are sitting on their asses fighting each other, bickering with each other, instead of getting out here and doing what Adam was put here to do, which is to restore law and order. You're not going to have law and order on this earth until the white man steps up and takes on his rightful position as the governors of this earth. That's our job. That's why Adam was put here. And this whole world is just going to keep on tumbling down that primrose path of feel-good sayings and nonsense that comes out of the media, nonsense that comes out of Hollywood, and all these retards out there with their completely imbecilic attitudes. None of that's going to stop until Adam kind stops fighting, takes the bull by the horns, and says, here's what Father has determined to be the law, and by God, we're going to live by it, because we all prosper and we all have sanctity of life under his law. We sure as hell are not going to have it under the Talmud thumpers known as Zionist Communist Jews, because they are anti-Christ. They are anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-what works, anti-good, anti-common sense. Over to you, Ted.
Well, spending some time, I do have a few contacts in South Africa and surrounding areas, and you know, it's one thing. I'm watching video footage of these South African whites in there, and I was watching one where these people weren't farmers. They didn't have even so much as a nice farm that was passed on. They actually lived in like a shanty town, like a refugee camp almost. Very basic one-story dwellings, and there were white people just totally indigent, had nothing, totally impoverished. Didn't have electricity, didn't have running water, and, you know, it really hit me, because I sit here and I think, well, gee, why don't they just leave? Why don't they just flee? Why don't they come here? Why can't we get something going where we bring these folks over here? They literally don't have a penny in their pocket, so to speak, to leave. They are stuck there, and I started thinking more and more. Of course, this has been in the news and alternative media with Julius Malema and the ANC thumping their chests about how they're going to take away the white farms and white property, which has been in the works for a long time, and we've already seen that happen in Robert Mugabe's Zimbabwe, or formerly known as Rhodesia. We've already seen this happen for years, probably decades, I think. It's not anything new. But I started thinking more about it, and I thought, well, gee, it's just a matter of time until that happens here in this country. I'm sitting here watching this video about South Africans and how indigent they are and how terrible it is, and thinking to myself, what a nightmare. Their daily existence is a nightmare. They don't know if they're just going to be overrun and slaughtered by a bunch of Mau Maus and Ubangis down there. They don't know what's going to happen. And I started thinking, well, gee, I'm here in America. I'm relatively comfortable. I got money in my pocket. I'm not living under a bridge. I got electricity and running water. And gee, there's so many things I could do to really make my situation better and get fully prepared to make sure that this does not happen to me in my lifetime. I do not want to live this nightmare that these white folks are living in South Africa and in Zimbabwe. And day by day, more and more in Europe now too, folks. Western and Central Europe are approaching the same thing. And we're kind of further down the line than those two countries, but I assure you, it is coming here. You think the blacks in South Africa and Zimbabwe are bloodthirsty? Wait till the Jews and the media and the liberals whip these people up here in this country to come after reparations, to come after taking property in the name of white privilege and an unfair quote-unquote system. They are going to do this here. This is coming. Just wait. I'm younger than you and Pastor Eli, Commander Dan, and Pastor Steve. I'm a millennial. And what scares me the most is the fact that, demographically speaking, this country is going to pretty much change overnight without most white people noticing when the baby boomers are passing away or put in retirement homes. I mean, the baby boomer generation, they're the bulkhead, the beachhead, the anchor of the white population in this country. And they're really the traditionalists, more so to speak. I mean, the younger folks like myself, they tend to be more liberal and totally nuts. So I'm thinking about this. I got another 40, maybe 50, maybe even 60 years to go in this country, on this earth, in my life. And I'm thinking, boy, it's just going to dwindle away. We're going to be dwindled down to nothing like these poor folks in South Africa. Folks have got to wake up. Just because we sit here and we're comfortable here in America with the modern luxuries and creature comforts, this is not going to last forever. And you're not going to be safe in your little neighborhood if you don't keep your head on a swivel and take account of what's happening in your county, your city, your area. You're going to find yourself peeping your head out the door to go get the mail one day, and you're going to look around and see a bombed out neighborhood like in Detroit and realize you're the last white person on the block. That is not a situation that you should be in. You need to prevent that as much as possible. I've noticed, even in the areas I've grown up in and lived and where my family's from, I have to go further and further out. No longer can I choose to live in the metro area or even the first ring of the suburbs. Out from the metro area, I have to go out beyond the suburbs to the small towns where all the lower income white folks live to feel somewhat secure and feel like, okay, this is a good place to be. I'm not crowded by a bunch of white liberals. I'm not going to be under attack by a bunch of non-whites. I mean, you got to really think ahead. Folks my age out there, you got to start thinking like this or you're going to get caught. You know, you take out a big 30-year mortgage on a nice home in one of these neighborhoods that's the first ring, the first line of defense of the suburbs, you're going to get stuck. Blacks are going to move in, and once that neighborhood turns, you know, 15, 20% black, you're going to be stuck not being able to get out of your house what you've sunk into it cost-wise. I can't stress this enough, and it's just a practical thing to think of and game plan for your future out there, folks. And even the baby boomers, folks like yourself, Dan, you guys have kids, you have nieces, you have nephews, some of you have grandkids out there. Hopefully you're teaching them these things, because they're surely not getting it from maybe even their parents, definitely not the public school system.
Yeah, amen to that. I got 14 grandchildren, probably more coming.
Wow.
So I have a lot of incentive for the fight, and I'm here for the fight. I'm as Pastor Steve and Pastor Eli and Andy and Chris and Paul and all the other great folks. That's what we're here for. That's why we've done this for as long as we have. We were made aware because of things, like I said, I saw in the military and in the industry that I had as a career afterwards. I saw it when the beast came against people that I cared for, and I saw the fact that the Constitution didn't make one hill of beans to these people. That was back in the 1980s. I saw that law in general was only applied when it benefited the powers that be, and when it defended us, they just sort of glossed over it, and nobody gave a damn. Well, the problem is that you can be apathetic. You want to be apathetic, that's fine, but you're going to pay a price. Our founding fathers said that liberty requires eternal vigilance. And for people out there that don't know what that means, they need to grab that dictionary off the shelf and look it up. Eternal vigilance. And we forgot about that. We turned into several generations of party hardy. And part of that's because of the terrible wars. They saw enough death and deprivation, starvation, mutilation, torture, the world wars that the Jews brought on us, which was their sacrifice to their god Satan, the cremation and death and torture of white Christian families. Okay, that so they had a field day murdering the best of our people. So because of that, our people were prone to back off. They had seen enough death. And not only that, there's a good book written that's part of the War College series called War and the Breed. And it was written back in 1915, and I'm about halfway through it. But he goes into why war is counterproductive to the natural selection and improvement of a race of people. And obviously, this particular book was talking about the Anglo-Saxon or the true Israelite people, because World War I and World War II was devastating, and so was the Civil War, devastating to the white race. And literally, as he explains in this book, war takes out your best. It's not like it takes out the weak, the cowardly, the stupid, the infirm. No, it takes out the best. It takes out your smartest, your strongest, your fastest, your go-getters. Those are the ones who die on the battlefield, not the dregs of society, because the military won't take them. All right? So warfare is meant to sap the very best of your race out of it. And we've had endless war now for hundreds of years, hundreds and hundreds of years, thanks to these Zionist bankers. All right? They've used war to make profit, but it also keeps the best of our people, the numbers of our best, down. So they think that we have been whittled down to there's not enough warriors left. And that's what the scripture is talking about. Yahweh, if he did not come back as Yeshua the second time, fast enough, there would be no flesh saved. And he's talking about his children, the white race. Literally, we've reached that point. We're below the replacement numbers as far as birth rate. There's no real food hardly left anymore. I find it interesting that Russia is warehousing heirloom seeds. A lot of people don't know that, but Russia is putting heirloom seeds deep underground in bunkers. I wonder what they know. They are embracing the faith of our fathers. They are embracing nationalism more so than we are. So the Jewish media has nothing good to say about Russia, but it's kind of funny, isn't it? That they're having a resurgence of the old things that worked while we're going the way of the dodo bird because we're letting the Jews lead us around like a bull with a ring in its nose. And we can't survive. And the good news is we've reached the point of self-destruction. That's what we're witnessing happening now. And this is going to escalate. The pedestrian bridge falling, buildings that are collapsing because of poor construction, poor materials, poor workmanship. I saw it in the nuclear industry. They keep bringing in the minorities and the women. I'm going to tell you something. I love our people to death, but even the white women make terrible engineers. They make terrible technicians. All right? The best of them are mediocre. The very best of them are simply mediocre. They are not stellar by any stretch. And if you want to find the best engineers who get the best work done, it will invariably be the Anglo-Saxon guys. It's always been that way. It was kind of funny. I had a Jewish guy come up to me at a plant in New Jersey, and I was outside walking between the construction trailers, and he comes up to me and he says, "Dan, can I talk to you for a minute?" And I said, "Well, yeah, what do you want?" He says, "Well, you know, I'm in charge of the corrective actions program here, and I like to think I've got the best guys working for me, the smartest and best guys." And he goes, I want you to quit working for the procedures group and work for me." Well, I knew my identity at that time, so in my brain, I'm sort of laughing. I'm going, "Yeah, you're a typical Jew." And I just looked at him and I said, "No, I'm just going to stay with the group I'm with now. Thank you, but no." And it's because exactly what do? The Indians and the Jews. The Indians are nothing more than a different sect of Jew. They're the black Jews. So the Indians do exactly as the Jews do. They come in, and because of their power that we've given them, I mean, let's face it, they own all the restaurants. They own all the motel chains and some convenience stores and gas stations. They literally own almost all of them. And so the same thing in industry. We've given them such a free ride that they're everywhere. And so what do? They go get the best of the white guys to work for them, and then they take all the credit. I've seen them do it time after time after time. When they're in front of the vice presidents or they're in front of the board of directors or whatever, they're sitting there. As long as things are running smoothly and the white guys are doing the work, they take all the credit. And as soon as something goes wrong, they point the fingers at the crews out in the field. They don't take the blame for it. That's how they operate. So the idiots at the top, because we no longer hire people by their talent, the idiots at the top are college graduates who got their jobs because they're either Jewish or they're affirmative action or whatever. They circumvent the whole process of learning how to be a good technician, a good mechanic, a good electrician, whatever. And so now they're sitting up there because they got a college degree as a boss, and they're too dumb to know who the good workers are. So when the Indian or the Jew or any other non-white walks in trying to take all the credit for the work that the white guys have done, they don't know enough to know that they're being lied to and bamboozled. They actually believe this garbage. And so I watched time and time again guys, white guys that were immensely qualified were bypassed for another affirmative action promotion because on paper this guy looked like he was great, but for the people out in the trenches, they knew that this was a lie. This guy was dumber than a box of rocks, and particularly when it comes to the females, they really are. They're dumber than rocks when it comes to industry and when it comes to maintenance. They don't have a clue. But they get the job because they're filling a, quote, affirmative action slot, and all the guys at the top get a incentive bonuses because of performance indicators. And what do the Jews do at the CEO levels? And in their little boardrooms, they go, well, we'll just put the bonuses, tie the bonuses to the more non-whites that get promotions, they get a bigger bonus. And that's all you have to do for most white people. That's as far as their thought process goes. If it makes more money for them, they're going to do it. Let me give you a quick case in point, and then I'll shut up. I got a good friend of mine in the Navy, just retired from the Navy, as a chief petty officer. His twin brother is a captain in the Navy. A complete liberal snowflake cuck. Why is he that, even at the level as captain in the Navy? Because he gets a really damn good retirement. He gets all kinds of perks he doesn't deserve. And so he's paid to be quiet, and he does. That's what we got in our military today. And I'm not saying all of our military, but that shows you what happens. They put Jewish shekels in their pockets, and they turn them into cucks. They turn them into liberals. His brother actually said, I think we need to disarm the American people. This is a guy at the level of captain in the Navy would say an un-American, and I would say almost treasonous statement like that. And why does he do that? Because he spent his entire Navy career in a job that didn't require much from him. He went to work late, left early, took 2 to 3 hour lunches, meaning he didn't do a damn thing. Other people did the actual work. He sat in the office and took all the credit. But he got paid really well. And so he sat his ass in a chair and tried to make the world think he actually was doing something. And all he was doing was accepting money and keeping his mouth shut and going along with the program. That's who goes along with the programs, the people that don't have any talent. And that's why the Jew has infiltrated our society with so many of these unqualified people, like the non-whites and the females. Why? Because they'll do whatever they're told. Because down deep, they know they don't deserve the jobs they've got. But they're getting paid really well, even though they don't know what the hell they're doing. It's a sad thing, Ted. I've seen it. I've watched it for almost 65 years now that I walked this earth. I don't know how much longer Father has for me, but I got a tendency to think that I'm going to be here to see the end. And all of us guys here at Eurofolk Radio are going to be part of it. And my own personal conviction, Ted, is that somehow, and I'm not saying we deserve this. I think our Father is just being merciful to us. But I actually think the good people here at Eurofolk Radio are going to be part of the leadership of the revolution that takes back Earth from these creatures who have destroyed it. And we're going to put them in the dirt where they belong. This is the great battle. This is not a time to be cowardly or to shirk from standing out and calling a spade a spade. It's time to present the truth. No matter what the consequences are, it's time to take a stand for the truth. And when the book talks about the war between the children of light and the children of darkness, we have to understand that that's an idiomatic expression. The children of light means the children with understanding of who Yahweh is, understanding that he is a merciful and powerful creator, understanding that he loves us, but he expects us to behave and to obey his law. And to love him above all things on this earth. And I mean literally, above all things on this earth. That's what he expects. And for those rare individuals that can conform to those specifications, he has mighty help and mighty blessings, and we shall prevail. In the eyes of man, it looks like this is a done deal, and there's no way our tiny remnant is going to make it, but by God we are, Ted. We are going to make it, and we are going to destroy the wicked on this earth. That's our mission, and we're not going to stop until it's accomplished.
Absolutely. Yeah, you guys are doing a tremendous job. Everyone here at EFR, I've been a fan and a listener of you guys far longer than I've been with you. And it starts at the ground level, just getting the message out to people who are ready, qualified, and worthy to hear it. And spend your time with folks that you think are worthy of hearing it, and reject the ones that are just a total lost cause. And don't feel bad about it one bit. And everyone here is doing a tremendous job. And I just hope that if I could see it happen one day, boy, what an honor, what a thing. As they say, as it's said in the scriptures, one with Yahweh is the majority. And once white people wake up to that and they embrace the truth of the scriptures, in my opinion, they're going to be an unstoppable force. We've just had our faith and our courage and our manhood stripped of us, stripped from us by friends, by family, by spouses, by siblings, by people telling us we can't do this or we can't do that, by institutions, you name it. We have been hammered into the ground psychologically and emotionally. And, you know, watching this day by day, what's happening in this country, it rips at your heart. It almost drives you mad sitting here watching this, knowing that, feeling that you're isolated about it, and you just got to sit here and take this. I think things will change, and the more you can be independent of the system, the better off you're going to be when that great cataclysm comes.
Yeah, amen. Amen to that. Well, you know, our founding fathers told us that it was the animated fight for liberty that makes us men, that makes us alive. In other words, the scripture refers to it as Christ said, in order to live, you must be willing to die. And it sounds simplistic, but it's very, very true. We are to put this life at a lower level than doing the right thing. Stonewall Jackson said, duty is ours, consequences belong to the Father. That's very simple, but very wise. To do the right thing is duty. General MacArthur, what did he say? God, country, duty, country, and honor, or something like that. Okay, very simple words, but they mean everything. If we don't have a sense of duty and honor, then what good are we? If there is nothing that we won't stand for, again, what good are we? Why are we even here if we won't sacrifice and do what's necessary to straighten out this mess? It falls upon us. If not us, who? If not now, when? This is the time. I remember in typing class, they had a phrase that they always tested us on. And I was the only senior male in the typing class. And I believe Father Yahweh had me pick it because computers hadn't even come out yet. So a lot of my male friends were making fun of me. You know, Dan, you're in there with all these girls taking typing, for crying out loud. And I said, yeah, because I think it's going to come in handy. I'm going to tell you something. Was that a blessing or what? Because shortly after that, electronic typewriters came out, which means I could type up reports when I was at work and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden computers come out. Tell me being a touch typist didn't come in handy for that. So here again, the Father leads us, right? But anyway, they had this phrase, and it was the standard phrase that they would test how good you were doing on your typing and what speed you were. And it was, it is time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. I'd say that's where we're at right now, Ted. It is time for all good, meaning all righteous men, to come to the aid of their countrymen, your race. And by taking care of our race and putting them back up on the position of governing on this earth where we belong, all other races will benefit. Exactly as the Bible says, those who bless Abraham will be blessed. Those who support Abraham in his struggle, meaning our people, not these damn Jews. Abraham was the ancestor, or I should say the progenitor of the white race, not Jews. They're the imposters. They're the Revelation 2, verse 9, imposters. So when the children of Jacob come to the forefront as the governors on this earth, and we take over the militaries that are made up of our men, then we will go and help everybody straighten out their mess. Do you think Venezuela and Colombia and Cuba would love to see a righteous army of white guys come down here and help them fix their problems? Because the first thing you do is round up all the Jews and put them in prison. Because you know practically every one of them has committed a crime. So you put them in prison and put them on trial. And as soon as you take them out of the way, good things are going to start happening. Because Christ identified them as the source of virtually all problems and certainly the source of the shedding of all innocent blood. That means they're at the bottom of almost every diabolical thing going on. So a righteous army of our men, they're going to go in to help these other countries by subduing the communists who are all Jews and run by Jews and financed by Jews. And so you're going to put communism down, and as soon as you put communism down and put the central bankers in prison, just like they did in Iceland, you're going to see immediate results, just like Iceland did. As soon as they imprisoned those 79 bankers and forgave the debt, their economy was booming. The same thing's going to happen in every other white nation and every other non-white nation. You just got to get rid of the bad people. And that's our job. Our job is to put the bad people in the dirt where they belong. And that supports all the people that are doing it right.
Absolutely. Very well said. Yeah, all these other people, they're suffering here under Satan's rulership of the earth, too. They're just as much slaves as we are in their own countries. The Jews have a chokehold on the money systems of all these countries, and I think there's only a handful of them left, what, maybe five or seven, that don't have a Rothschild central bank, like North Korea, Syria, all the quote-unquote terrorist axis of evil nations that we're supposed to go over and fight and die for, right? All those countries, the Jews are desperate to get in there and get a hold of the money system, and there's only a handful of them left on the earth that don't have the Jew in there manipulating the thing and stealing the wealth of the nation from, poor peasants in third world countries. We have that problem here in our own country, and I think there's no doubt why the deep state in D.C. in the Jewish mainstream media, why they hate Putin for stepping in Syria and putting a stop to it and going against the United States. I think that all plays into it, and I think if we can get a proper understanding, like from the conspiracy history angle, and understand that the Jews cannot do what they do without the money power. Taking away their money power will do far more with neutering them than anything else. Take away the money and eventually control of the media, control of the politicians, control of the schools, everything else. It all flows from the Jews' control of the money, the Rothschilds' control of central banking.
Yeah, I just saw a headline saying something about Facebook is being sold out and Rothschild steps down. Now, I haven't looked into it to see what that's all about, but there's some dominoes getting ready to fall. So again, now's not the time to be squeamish. Now's the time to stand up and yell and scream louder than we ever have. The sheep are waking up in droves. They're sick and tired of the lies and the shenanigans of the deep state and the Jews. They're sick and tired of the lying media, and they're just sick and tired of failed policies. All these things are failed policies. And they're promoting fear porn and all this other stuff, and now's the time for all of us here at Eurofolk Radio and all the other watchmen out there on whatever platform they're using to stand tall and to scream out against our enemies. Let's all be blowing the shofar as Joshua did against Jericho. Let's bring the walls of Jericho down. Let's bring the walls of Babylon tumbling down. Let's destroy Babylon. I don't want to compromise with it. I don't want to have peaceful terms with it. I want to destroy it. I want to see it burn. and all those who support the lies and treachery and murder and pedophilia of Babylon, they can burn with it. As Yahweh's getting ready to thin the herd, folks, I hope you understand what's happening right now. This is a great divide. There is no fence. I think you can notice that, Ted. There is no fence now. You're either completely disgusted with the Satanists and what they're doing, or you're in bed with them. There's no in-between. So you're either an adversary to the Zionist Satanists, or you're not. There's no in-between. This is the great divide. This is the sword that divides families and husbands and wives and families and their children and business workers and everything. Everything is being divided. And it means we're getting ready for the thinning of the herd. They're going to go. It's time for them to go. And so their wrath is going to be great. They're going to try to pull off all kinds of staged events and wreck this and wreck that. Well, it's too bad. It's time for them to go. And I think we need to stand up and join together. And again, stop fighting each other. Stop backbiting each other. And get ready for what's coming down the pike. Because this is going to be serious time, but it's going to be great victories. Great victories for the righteous. We just have to stand up and take hold of that scepter of authority that Father gave us and face the enemy. And I saw Pastor Eli put in here something about nuclear power and the plant go boom. I want people to know something out there. There's a lot of fear porn out there, and having worked in the nuclear industry, let me tell you something. A nuclear power plant cannot explode. Physically impossible, especially in the United States. Some of the plants overseas are different designs than we use, and so they can have a little bit more trouble, but they are still not bombs. They cannot explode, all right? First of all, we use 3% enriched uranium, and nuclear devices have to have enrichment up above 97%. All right, so first of all, the uranium we use is very low grade, very low percentage, and therefore it is incapable of having a nuclear detonation. It cannot happen. The only thing that can happen is if the core melts through the bottom of the plant and that red-hot core hits a water table, you'll get a steam bubble, because what happens when something that's superheated hits cold water? You get a big bubble of steam. But as far as a nuclear explosion, it's not going to happen. And so don't believe all the fear porn that's out there. Just because the word nuclear is with it doesn't mean it's a bomb. It's not. It can't happen. Physically impossible. So look, when you hear this stuff from the mainstream media and these talking heads and these retards that we got walking around as if they really know something, reach out to people that have actually worked in the various industries. And get the story straight from them. Don't listen to these libtards and soy boys and stuff that got their heads up their rectums.
Good to know. Good to know for sure. We're right at the top here. We've got a couple minutes left. I just want to put out there, there's a lot of people. I know we get down sometime and think you can't reach people. There's a ton of young kids, younger than myself, out here in the alt-right and alternative politics and right-wing politics that are starving for a lot of this Christian identity truth. And what's stopping you listeners out there from going out, talking to them, strike up a conversation, before you know it, talking about different things? Hey, did you ever know that you're a true son of Israel? You're a member of the white race and you're God's chosen people here on earth. Throw that out there. A lot of these kids have never heard it before. They've eaten up a lot of the Jewish lies like everyone else, like the secular white nationalists. Guys, they are hungry for it. They are ready to hear the message. So by all means, take it upon yourself. Get out there and reach out to some of these people on 4chan and these other places. They need to know what the story is and what the score is and what team they're on. And there's a lot of people out there that are into the alt-right stuff, and they just haven't had exposure to the Christian identity message. So by all means, get on out there, talk to them, make some connections, talk to people, and see how it goes. I think you'll be amazed with some of the connections that you make and how easy it goes. I've had a few of these recent experiences here in the past few weeks, and I need to make it a point to keep doing that, keep reaching out, keep talking to people, keep making connections. And if you run into one that isn't going to work or it's a bad one, just discard it and move on. That's the beauty of the internet. So anything else you want to close out with here, Commander Dan, by all means, you have the last 2 minutes here, sir.
Well, just a call out to my white brothers and sisters out there. Grow a backbone. Take a stand and stop being such cucks and such pushovers and such, as the scripture calls them, the weeds in the wind, being blown around by the New World Order and the Zionists and the mainstream media and the retards in Hollywood. Stop it. Grow a backbone and take a stand. You know deep inside you what's right. Take a stand for your family. Take a stand for yourself. And take a stand for our Heavenly Father and His kingdom. I mean, it's now or never. We're literally at that point, Ted. It's now or never. So you better wake up, folks. The storm is here. And thanks for having me on. It was an honor. And Yahweh bless your heart, Ted.
Hey, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you with me, Commander Dan. Yahweh bless you. To all the listeners out there, have a good night. Be safe. May Yahweh richly bless you all. Good night. Bye-bye.